We do have a guest in the pulpit today. He says that he is a sinner saved by grace. And we appreciate that because we are all sinners saved by grace. He's married to a beautiful Colorado girl, he says, and he is the father of two handsome young men that we see here in the auditorium with us. He is a preacher's kid. And I don't know if we hold that against you or not. We won't. He's from Central America. His brother is the senior pastor at the Gentry SDA Church and Ozark Academy in Arkansas. He's a registered nurse with the state of South Carolina and has been employed for the past 13 years by Lexington Medical Center. Currently, he works as a clinical or house supervisor specializing in critical care. They are members of the Columbia First SDA Church, and he serves as the church elder, as a church elder. And that's how I met him some 3 weeks or a month ago at elders meeting. And the Lord would have had us to have breakfast. Yes, breakfast together. And this is why he is here, because he volunteered after I asked. And as I talked, I knew that he had a message for us. But at the Columbia First, he is men's ministry leader. He is religious liberty leader. He is a new believer Sabbath school class teacher. And yes, you said you were tired. Yes, you are tired, aren't you? An adventurer club assistant. And between him and his wife, they fill many roles there at Columbia First. But one of the things they are engaged in is helping other churches with time and talent as they see Jesus' appearing coming nigh. And that's why he is here with us, because in pastors, with his absence, and now that he is back but not being able to get around very much, we are happy to have him in the pulpit today and to bring the message. Hear ye him.
Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship together. Bless your word and bless us, that may we be hearers and doers, but most of all, doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. It is a privilege for us, my family and I, to be here. We've been here in South Carolina for almost 14 years, and we have never come to Aiken. This is our first time. The only time we do is just cruising along the highway going west. But we have never, so I think we have another appointment somewhere in the future here at Aiken. Yes, indeed, that's how we met at Nosoka Pines a few weeks ago. Where's Sister Gloria anyway? I don't see her. Oh, there she is. Yes, yes. We had lunch together, and the Lord just put things together. And I believe that God is putting things together as time draws near. Amen? One thing, though, that I have to mention, that you folks are unique. Because in most Seventh-day Adventist churches right now, they're going to lunch. And you folks are just calm and quiet. That it is just amazing. My brother, as you heard, he is a pastor with the Arkansas-Louisiana Conference. But before, he was in Oklahoma. And he pastored a church that at 12 o'clock, everybody left. No matter what, preacher was not done, they would just storm out. But he was forewarned before. And on his first church service with him, he asked the question, do you think that the Holy Spirit still works? I said, yes, amen. Do you think that he still works at 11 o'clock? Yes. What about 12? Yes. What about 1 o'clock? Yes. Then he's going to still be here at 1 o'clock. And never again did those folk left. They stayed together until the service was done. So we are so thankful to be here with you. And I want us to... How many brought your Bibles?
Good.
In fact, just Tuesday, a co-worker of mine, she was saying that she is saddened. She goes to a Sunday-keeping church. She says that not many people bring their Bibles with them because everything is on screen. So that gives room for not carrying them. But this is what? The weapon for the Christian. Amen? Now more than ever, and we will see some of the wonderful truths that God has prepared for us today. Different, but one in Christ. Different, but one in Christ. My attention was caught to an illustration that I saw about M&Ms. No M&Ms? Those little round, what? Is it chocolate? Chocolate, right? Now, what's in M&M? Chocolate sweet, right? Are all the same in a little bag. Are all the same. They're different, right? Now, I don't care about M&Ms. But the point is, you see you have red, you have blue, what else? You have brown, you have yellow, what else? Green. But red, orange, okay. But all of them serve what? A purpose. To put some sweetness in your mouth. And Brother Grant caught me out there munching a little bit. Because I was looking for something to see if my wife had brought something that I could illustrate. And I found this, you know, she brings this to calm the kids around here while we're traveling. And this is a piece of cornflake here. Look at the shape. This has a different shape. Okay. This is a bigger one. See, different shape. Now, we can go through the whole little bag and there'll be hundreds of little shapes. But they all serve a purpose. That is to what? To fill your tummy and my tummy what? At breakfast. Ephesians 4:7, the memory text. But to each one of us, what was given? What was given? Come on, talk to me, folks. And I tell you what, I will not delay you more, okay, than I need to, okay? Because I have learned, you know, since I've trained in the medical field, you know, when the muscles that God gave you to sit on start to ache, your concentration goes away. So I am very mindful of that. But let's go through this. But to each one of us, what was given? Aren't you glad for grace? According to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, that's verse 11, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come to what? Say that again. To all what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. to a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Okay? So when God created the heaven and earth, it was His intent to bestow upon this brand new planet with every good thing. I said it was God's intent. So He did it with intention to bestow upon the earth everything that we have. But if you go back to the biblical record in Genesis 1, just listen to this text here. Genesis 1:11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind." And He says that it was good. Then 12 brought grass according to its kind. Okay? And fruit according to its kind. Verse 20. Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament. So God created, verse 21, sea creatures and every living thing that moves with the waters according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Did you catch that phrase? According to its kind. That's why when we go to Lowe's or Home Depot or your nursery, you see all kind of flowers. And my wife and I, we like to plant. And we just enjoy the beautiful kinds of flowers and shrubs that God has made. But when it comes to verse 24, Genesis 1:24, I'm sorry, verse 26, He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to what? To our likeness." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, He created them. In this text, you don't see that God said, "And He created man according to its kind." Did you get that? Did you see that? Every creation, the rest of the creation, has its variety, but not man. You and I are unique because we are made at the image of whom? Of God. So what does that tell you and tells me? If you and I are made at the in the image of God, then that is something. That is something. Acts 17:26 tells us that out of one blood, He created what? All men. Isn't that wonderful? You can come to the hospital. How many have received a blood transfusion? Are you asking, is that from a Chinese person or is that from a Hispanic person? Blood is blood. Blood is life. Who made blood? God. And you know, you hear that in the news that man is trying to create to avoid AIDS and all these kind of diseases, you know, that we don't have an answer for, trying to create a synthetic blood. Guess what? I don't think that will ever happen. Because blood is life, and only God can create life. Amen? Do you agree with that? So, if out of one blood He created all humankind, which we'll call the human race, how come we are different? How come? God created the human race with its variations as well. And you know, as humans, we have labeled it as ethnic groups. And I'll tell you the definition that I found of ethnic is pertaining to or a characteristic of a people, special group, sharing a common and distinctive culture, religion, language, or the like. That is the definition of ethnic. So that's why we have difference or differences Things that you can do, I cannot do. How many like to work in the hospital? Let me see. How many like to see blood? Huh? No, right? My brother and I. He chose the ministry. I chose the medical field. If I start to talk about, you know, the ailments, that somebody gets nauseous, he gets nauseous too right then. He cannot stand it. Yet, he and I are from the same mom, same dad, but different. We have different trades, different skills. We have different talents, professions. When I was living in Fort Worth in the early 90s, I enjoyed going to church. And guess what church I used to go to? Church. Fort Worth has many churches. Now I think they have more. I used to go to a black church. And boy, did we have church. And the worship style, it was appealing to me. It was vibrant. When I went to the Hispanic church, it was a different mood. But still was appealing to me. And let's say the white church. But that's why God has made us different. To enjoy the goodness that He has bestowed upon us. To each one of us, grace was given. And He gave gifts to men. That's why you and I are different. We have been bestowed with different talents, different gifts for His glory. So what is the purpose of being different? Verse 12 tells us in Ephesians 4:12, he says, for the equipping, and here's our sister here, Sabbath School, she touched upon that, which was, I think, was God-given, because that's why I was supposed to talk about. God made you and I different for His glory, number one, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Can you imagine how boring would it be if everyone was made, you know, like a cookie cutter machine, you know, the same thing? Wouldn't that be boring? Yeah, look at your spouse. Would it be boring to be just like your spouse? I bet my wife wouldn't like to be like me. She tells me that all the time. Thank God for that. We were made to bring glory to His name. And back in those days when the Ark of the Covenant was not in Jerusalem. Remember, the Philistine had taken the Ark away. And it was time to bring it home. And David said, I am going to bring it home. And it was in the house of Obed-Edom. That was the name of the... You can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 17 and so forth. And he said, we're going to bring that ark to Jerusalem. And when that happened, he wrote a song that you find in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I'll just give you just one word here. Give to the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring offering and come before Him. That was the attitude of David, bringing that ark back to Jerusalem to bring glory to the name of God. So when we put together our God-given talents, skills that His grace has entrusted us, we need to bring those as a sweet aroma. What is aroma? Sweet what? Sweet what? Smell to Him. If you can sing, bring those songs to Jesus Christ. If you can have the gift of prayer, bring them to Christ. To make this beautiful congregation alive and vibrant. That is what we're here for. And especially now that the time is nearing, that we need to finish the work of God with the greatest effort that we can. When our nation was established, in 1976, right? We all know that, right? What did I say? Well, I just want to make sure that you were alive. 1976, that was 200 years, right? It was 1776. That's right. There was a committee, the Great Seal Committee, and they put a slogan or a motto is called. And what was it? Do you remember that? Do what now? It was in that seal, it was put. No, the other one. That one there. But I'll tell you how it's pronounced because this is Latin. It's not English. E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum. That's how it's pronounced because it's Latin. And I am Latin. What does it mean? Out of many, one. How many believe that the United States exists because of prophecy? Huh? We do? The Bible says so. Well, how come I didn't see more hands raised? We need to study our Bible. This nation is in existence because the Bible says so. It is in prophecy. Absolutely, absolutely. But this nation came forth from the contest of how many people? Many. When I first came to the United States, I took it wasn't that called that class. It was about how the government works, basically what it is, something along those way. But I took this government class, and I read because I wanted to make sure that I understood how you folks think. And there I studied that there was the first wave, then there was the second wave. Have you heard that? There was the third wave and the fourth wave. In one of those waves, the Kennedys came. I think it was the third or fourth wave. That's where they came to America. And they came, people of many lands came, and that's why the United States is the strongest nation in the world. That's the reason. One of the many reasons, because there is the contest of so much talent. When the Second World War was around, guess who was one of the chief scientists there? The wisest man around, you know his name? Huh? Einstein. That's right. Einstein. So God is the God of diversity, but also He is the God of oneness. Do we have diversity in our world today? Yes. Yes. But is there oneness? Huh? No, there isn't. Now, should be, yes, but there isn't. That's why we have this supremacy. One nation against the other. One folk against the other. Trying to dominate each other. Yes, but what about the church? The world is the world, okay? We're not going to worry about the world in that sense. But what about the church? Do we have diversity? Yes, we do. Do we have oneness? That's a different story. If we want to be honest with ourselves, should we strive for oneness? Absolutely. Because without that, without the unity, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. Do we agree? Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, this is not new for the church. During his earthly ministry, Christ began to break down the partition wall between the Jews and Gentiles and to preach salvation to all mankind. Though he was a Jew, Jesus, he mingled freely with the Samaritans, setting at naught the Pharisaic customs of the Jews with regard to these despised people. You know that I was just reading that in history, a Jew, He went to church, not to praise God, but to give him thanks that he was not a Samaritan, that he was not a slave, or he was not a woman. How about that? How about that? The Savior longed to unfold to his disciples the truth regarding the breaking down of the middle wall of partition between Israel and the other nations. Thus, Christ sought to teach the disciples, and he's teaching you and me today, the truth that in God's kingdom, there is no territorial lines, no caste, no aristocracy, that God's love should go to all the world. So, in the early church, was there diversity? Yes. Was there diversity in the early church? Absolutely. Look at Peter. Look at Peter. How many of us are like Peter? Sometimes I find myself being like Peter, you know, taking charge. Sometimes I'm too hasty. And that's why at home, my wife has the spirit of John to calm me down, to pull me back, because probably I'm going too fast. That was the same spirit in the time of the Reformation. Remember Luther? Luther was very, you know, hands-on, ready to go for it. But he had a friend. If you have read The Great Controversy, it was Melanchthon. Melanchthon was the opposite of Luther. And the Spirit of Christ says that God allowed these two characters to mingle so that when one was too fast, the other one would do what? Pull back. And when the other one was too sluggish, the other one would say, hey, let's hurry up. That was the same thing that God had with Peter and John. Isn't that wonderful? In these first disciples was presented marked diversity. They were to be the world's teachers, and they represented a widely varied types of character. This was Christ to secure. Even though they were different, God wanted to secure, Jesus wanted to secure that unity to preach the world. And that is the reason that you and I are here in Aiken today. Because after they came together as one, the message went forth to the rest of the world. Now, my brothers, Jesus prayed a prayer, and he said, John 17, 21 and 23, he said, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? That is the prayer that God prayed back then, and that is the prayer that he wants us to become. If we are to finish the three angels' message in Aiken, in Colombia, South Carolina, United States, and the world, this has to come to pass, to be a reality. Different, but one in Christ. There is diversity of gifts, but to all the workers are to be blended in harmony, controlled by the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. The human instrumentality is hid with Christ in God, and Christ appears as the chiefest among the 10,000, the one altogether lovely. You and I may bring different backgrounds, different upbringings, but under the banner of Jesus Christ. And that banner was planted back in Calvary. When we come together under that banner, and we come and we behold what Jesus has done at Calvary, then we are ready to resonate a different tune, a different key. Pastor said one time that at the foot of the cross is a level plain. At the foot of the cross. So if I am holding some sort of supremacy, that I am this, I am that, that I will not go along with what my brothers are saying, or it's either my way or the highway, let's take again a look at Calvary. Let's get an experience with that Jesus that died for you and for me. You know he's longing to take us home, right? How many want to go home? Oh yeah, yeah, this world, in spite of the rays of beauty that we see along, is not the home that God wants us to live in, right? But before that, we need to come to Calvary. Let's bring our talents, our gifts, our skills, and humble ourselves. God is leading a people out of from the world upon the exalted platform of truth. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. He will discipline and fit up his people. They will not be at variance, one believing one thing and another having faiths and views entirely opposite, each moving independently of the body. Through the diversity of the gifts and governments that he has placed in the church, they will all come to the unity of the faith. This is under inspiration. Brothers and my sisters, only through the leadership of God, okay? Only through Calvary, only through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and only through the touch of Jesus. If I allow him to touch me, if you allow him to touch you, if we allow him to touch us, then we will come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And only then we can still be different, but one in Christ. Amen. May God bless us as we strive towards that crown that he has prepared for each one of us. Let's bring the talents. Let's bring our gifts to him with one mindset. And then we will be still maintain our identity, but we will move as one force with Christ. May God bless you, and may God help us to be faithful until the end.